Please stand as you're able. The Holy Gospel according to John, 20th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name, the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. All honor and glory to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Poor Thomas. The man asked for proof one time, and for the last 2,000 years, give or take, he's been stuck with the name Doubting Thomas. In all honesty, it's rather unfair. In John chapter 11, Jesus declares his intent to go to Bethany, where he will raise Lazarus from the dead, even though Jesus and his disciples are fully aware of the danger in returning to Judea, where the other disciples walked. After all, the Judeans have recently tried to stone him. Thomas replied, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Thomas was prepared to die with Jesus. Such an act does not denote a man of small faith or one without devotion to his Lord. The disciples spent the days following the crucifixion and death of Jesus in fear. Indeed, when Jesus appeared to those in the house, they were sheltering behind locked doors, fearing what the Jews may do to them with Jesus gone. The disciples in the house received Jesus' appearance with great joy, but first they experienced the very thing Thomas said he would not believe without. They saw the marks on his hands and side. How do we know that the other disciples would not react in the same way? Thomas is asking for the same experience, the same proof that the other disciples already had. Why does that make Thomas's faith less in our eyes? As I mentioned previously, Thomas was not shown as a man of little faith. Knowing this about him, why are we so quick to cast away his faith and loyalty and focus on his one moment of so-called doubt? After all, Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and we don't call him denying Peter. Perhaps we do this because of how we view doubt within the context of faith. Doubt is never seen as a good thing. We feel that if we're doubting even just one aspect of our faith, then it's as if it's not there at all. But that simply is not true. Doubt is not, as it is often treated, an absence of faith. I would argue that some amount of doubt, of uncertainty, is healthy. We love a God whose workings and mercies are beyond human understanding, but we give it our best try. We question and study. We seek counsel from our religious leaders. Some of us, even commit to 2 years of religious classes, in our efforts to know and understand God. Doubts drive us to question, and questions drive us to become more intimate in our relationship with God. This brings us back to Thomas. Thomas knows Jesus. He quite literally walked beside Jesus as a disciple. Yet Thomas still says, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." During my preparation for this sermon, I was able to read a translation of this passage from the original Greek. And the translator took the word "balo," translated in our Bibles as "put," and used another possible translation of "throw," to throw his finger into the holes in Jesus' hands, to throw his hand into the gash on Jesus' side. "Put" is more gentle. "Put" sounds nicer and makes us more comfortable. But "to throw" shows us a desperation to see and touch Jesus that "put" does not. There was nothing nice or gentle about the crucifixion. There was nothing nice or gentle about the way the police beat him, or the way he was flogged and crowned with thorns. Jesus was tortured, and the marks of the crucifixion remained after his return from the dead. And Thomas was desperate to see him, his friend, his Lord, his God. It was not doubt that drove Thomas to refuse to believe in the return of Christ, but a need to see for himself that Jesus was truly returned to them. What we often see as Thomas's unbelief was an attempt to understand the mysteries of faith. But even if it was indeed doubt, that would be all right too. After all, doubt does not stand in opposition to faith. A week later, Jesus once again returns to the house where the disciples were staying, this time with Thomas amongst them. The doors are once again locked, likely out of remaining fear of the Jews, and once again, the disciples likely had the daylight scared out of them when someone entered the house without opening the doors. Jesus offers peace to all of them before turning to Thomas and offering him what he needed. "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." It does not say in Scripture that Thomas took Jesus up on his offer. Thomas needs only look upon Jesus and hear his voice before proclaiming him his Lord and God. But the invitation was extended, that Thomas could reach out and touch his injuries if that was what he needed. Jesus reaches out to Thomas, for he is in his faith. He does not say that Thomas should have taken the other disciples' word, or the earlier words of Mary Magdalene, who saw Jesus first, that the Lord was risen. He does not berate Thomas for wanting to see Christ for himself. Jesus offers himself openly and intimately so that Thomas can believe. Christ reaches out to us where we are as well. He reaches out to us amid our doubts, our questions, and troubles, and says, "Do not doubt, but believe." Jesus is our candle in the darkness, the lamp at our feet. The Lord desires an intimate relationship with us that will reach out our hands to him and proclaim with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." Amen.